Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity you've given us, Lord. And man, I'll tell you this, Lord. I am so glad that I am loved by you. Because your love is really, really good. Thank you, Lord, for loving these kids that are here this morning, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you just love us so much, Lord, that you want to give to us, Lord. You want to bless us, Lord. You want to pour into us, Lord, this amazing word. And Father, this morning as your word goes forth, I pray, God, anointing upon it, Lord. Father, may your word go forth with a power, Lord God. May it go forth, Father God, with a resolution, Lord God, that it'll change the hearts once it gets in there. And I pray, Lord, that this word goes deep, Father God, and develops deep roots. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, last time we met together, and it wasn't Mother's Day, because I talked a little bit on Mother's Day about moms, and that's a good thing, and that's a great thing, but I started a series of messages called The Favor of God. How many of y'all like to be favored? Amen? I mean, man, I grew up, I got two older brothers, and I'm so thankful that I am my parents' favorite child. Amen? I mean, if you all are siblings, you got siblings, you know that you are your parents' favorite child. I mean, now whenever I'm with my mom and dad, and you know, mostly with my mom, I'll say, Mom, you know that I'm your favorite child. And she always tries to say something. And so I just take my little fingers and I put them over her lips and I go, shh, you don't have to say anything. Don't have to say anything because I know I'm your favorite. I know that there's no way that you could have my hideous two older brothers being your favorite. It's me. I understand that. She tries to speak again, and I said, I know what you have to say as a parent, because you know how parents are. They have to say, shh, shh. Don't say a word, Mom. So you know how it is, right? To be your parents' favorite. Some of you out there shaking your head, no. I'm sorry. I don't know if I really was, but that's the way I'm going to believe it. Amen. But what about being God's favorite? To be favored by God, the creator of this universe, the one who walked out and there was nothing and he said, let there be light, and all of a sudden there was something. Amen. The creator of this universe favors you. He favors you. You are the born again child of God. You've experienced that John chapter 3 thing. You got born again. Everything was made new. The old has passed away. You are favored by God. And as we learned in our last lesson, and I'm just kind of recap this very quickly. We're not favored because we're any better than them. We're favored because we have a covenant with God, sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Nothing stronger than a covenant sealed with blood. And so this covenant that we have with God, it enables us to live underneath His favor. His favor is going to enable us to attain victory regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstances around it, because this is it. God favors us. Amen. We read last week that in Psalm 5:12 it says, for you, O Lord, bless the righteous with favor, and you will surround us with your shield. So God surrounds our life with his shield. That's the favor of God upon us. Last time we got together and talked about this, we learned four definitions, and I'm going to go over them very quickly because they kind of set up our lesson for today. Just in case you forgot them, and I know if you were here last time, you didn't forget them because they were just ingrained on your psyche. Definition number one of the favor of God, something granted out of goodwill. If you have favor, that means that something has been granted to you purely out of goodwill. The favor of God is granted out of his goodwill towards us, and it's something that we can't buy. It's something that we can't earn. It's just because he wants to favor us. Let me just say something. It doesn't help any if you're handsome. And pastor said, yippee! It doesn't help any if you are extremely talented, extremely educated, extremely rich. But if you are rich, I'd like for you to adopt me. Y'all with me? There's nothing that you can do to earn this goodwill. There's nothing that you can do to buy this goodwill. This goodwill is just something that God just gives to us. So his favor is granted to us the goodwill of God. Definition number two, a gift bestowed as a token of regard, love, or friendliness. In other words, it's like this. You ever went to somebody and say, will you do me a favor? Will you do me a favor? And you only ask, hard favors are reserved for those people that really love you. Amen? Come on. Hard favors are just reserved for those people that you know, that you know, that you know, they love me. Amen? Moms get a lot of those favors. Mom, will you talk to Dad for me? Come on. If I was Mom, I'd say, nope, you're going to do it yourself. How come nobody ever comes and says, Dad, will you talk to Mom for me? Y'all there? I mean, the definition of the favor of God is a gift bestowed as a token of regard, love, or friendliness. Will you do a favor for me? And you understand the strength of a relationship based on the depth of the favor. Amen? Definition number three, preferential treatment. Preferential treatment. I mean, we should treat our kids better than we treat the neighbor's kids. Yes? Come on. I really don't want the neighbor's kids coming in and rummaging through my refrigerator. You can, don't. Preferential treatment. I like to be preferred. That's why I'm my parents' favorite. Definition number four, advantage. You have advantage. Having something working for us that others do not have working for them. You have the advantage. You have one leg up on them. You have the advantage. And for believers, that advantage is the favor of God. Amen? And so this morning, we got to understand this. God bestows favor for our success. This is it. It is ingrained in the heart of God that whenever he looks at his kids, whenever he looks at those kids, he says, listen, I want them to succeed. Amen? In every situation that you walk through on this green little earth that we live on, I'll tell you this, God has your back. He's got your back. And so that brings us to part number two. This is this morning's message. And if you would, open your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 28, because we're going to be going there in just a minute. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, we're talking about the favor of God, so you got to kind of get a hold of this. Everything that God does for us is motivated by his deep and abiding love for mankind. So in other words, you know, that preferential treatment, that, you know, favor that he would do for us, that is granted purely out of his goodwill, he does all of that because he loves mankind. Amen? Folks, you got to get this through your head. I got to get this through my head. There is a God who sits on a throne in heaven, and he is high and lifted up. And the angels fly to and fro, and they cry out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And I'll tell you something, that is a sight to behold, as their voices literally would shake the foundations of this earth. And God in his high and lifted up state, the Bible says that his train fills the temple. That God is in love with you. Man, grab it. Everything that God does is motivated from that love that he has for me, for you. In John chapter 3, verse 16, this is one of those verses that hardly ever gets quoted. But it says, for God so loved the world. Are y'all listening to this? He so loved humanity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Folks, he allowed Jesus Christ, a sinless human being, to die for you and I while we were cruddy. He so loved us. And man, if he allowed that to happen, I'll tell you something, folks, he'll help you with your rent. You just got to believe it. I'm telling you, this preferential treatment, this favor bestowed upon you, this advantage, it doesn't come just because you walk around aimlessly in this life. It comes because you start believing that you are preferential treated. It comes because you start believing that God just wants to bestow his favor on you. It comes because you just say, listen, I'm his child and he prefers me. So through the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ, God's own son, you and I have been redeemed. You and I have been redeemed. And through faith in Jesus, we now become eligible to inherit every promise God made in his word. Every promise God made in his word. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Some of y'all go, okay, he's crazy now. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And because I have been redeemed, now through faith in Jesus Christ, in faith that his blood has set me free and his blood has given me a position of child of the Most High God. Y'all there? Then all of a sudden, because I'm now a child of the Most High God, guess what? I now become eligible for every one of the promises that are in this book. Yeehaw. There are a lot of promises in that book. Not just one or two. There is a slug of them. Amen? So this morning I want to kind of take a look at some of the early promises. How many of y'all know that all the way through the Bible God's been promising? He's been promising, 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 promising. All the way through the Bible. It's just loaded up with his promises. But I want to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. I want to read a list of many of these real early promises that are recorded in the Word of God. I want you to see along with me that his favor is in every life of the individual that obeys and believes. Are you here with me? His favor is set up to produce blessing. So in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse number 1 is where I want to begin reading from. It says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Oh, wait a minute. We don't even know who he's talking to. He's talking to his people. This is God delivering a message via the internet to his people. Moses is surfing the internet. He's surfing about what's going on back in Egypt. Reading some news articles about the Pharaoh drowning. And he comes across an email that God sent him. I'm just joking. He really didn't get an email. It was a text. So anyway, this email was addressed to the people of God, his own special people, his people, the children of Israel. Yes? Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. Are y'all listening to this? He's telling his people, guys, listen, I'm going to set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Man, I like that. You know what that means? It means these blessings can run faster than you can. I was joking with my grandfather one time whenever I was walking down a pathway and he was behind us. And us three brothers were kind of joking about my grandfather being slow. That's why he was in the rear. And he stooped down and he cut off a piece of yucca plant. Y'all know what that is? It's real sharp on one end. And he said, let me see who's slow. And he picked up and that old guy could run. Let me tell you, my older brothers were way bigger than I was, way faster than I was. And so here's the story. My grandfather caught up with me first. He overtook me on that trail. and poked me in the hunkaroocus with a sharp thing. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body and in the increase of your livestock and in the produce of your ground. In the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you, the Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give you the rain for your land in its season and bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you heed the commands of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. Wow, man. I want to tell you something. If I was there and Moses was reading this email to me, and I'm one of the children of Israel, and God is saying, okay, guys, pretty much this is it. I'm going to bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. I'm going to bless the socks right off your feet. I'm going to bless you so much that you can't outrun my blessing. There's going to be blessing everywhere in your life. I'd be going, hoo-yah! Y'all aren't getting excited about this at all today, are you? Because y'all are just thinking, man, well, he wrote this to the children of Israel. He wrote this, you know, man, for all them folks back then. I'm going to tell you something, folks. I am a child of Israel. Amen. I am his own special people right now. I'm it. I've been adopted. I've been grafted into the vine. I've given a blood transfusion. I am a child of God, just like Abraham was a child of God. Holy moly. So now I read this thing with a whole different frame of mind. This isn't just for the children of Israel. This stretches all the way out here to 1979. Just seeing if you guys were awake. Stretches all the way out here to 2017. I'm telling you, this word right here was given to us. So God's purpose in bestowing blessing, it hasn't changed since Moses read this email to him. Are y'all there? Because you got to ask yourself a question. Why is he blessing us? Why does he want to bless us coming and going? Why does he want to bless everything that I touch? Why does he want to do that? Why did he want to bless the children of Israel back then? You see, remember, God bestows favor on you and I for our success. You see, God wanted his children to be successful then, and he wants us to be successful now. And God has a reason for wanting us to be successful. God has a reason for wanting us to be successful. Now, you guys got to hear a little bit of my story. I come from a story that's a family that's uneducated. I mean, a high school education was something that was rare in my family. Are y'all with me? I mean, my folks neither one graduated from school, and I can look back in their family, and they had very few people that graduated from high school. Are y'all there? And I'm not saying anything against anybody. I'm just telling you this is the way my family was. And so thus, if you don't have high school graduates, you do not have college graduates as well. Yes? My oldest brother went to the New Mexico School of Mines in Socorro, New Mexico. Everybody's familiar with that. And he was the first one in my father's family and in my mother's family to ever get a college education. I'm just going to tell you something. It was a big deal. Come on. My dad used to call people, hey, come meet my son here. He graduated from college. Got him a bachelor's degree. He's an engineer. He's an idiot, but he's an engineer. I just threw that in. My dad actually didn't say that. Hey, he's my brother. That's the way brothers are. Folks, I got to tell you something. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to be successful. And you got to ask yourself the question, why? Well, we read about it in verse number 10. God says, listen, I'm going to bless you coming. I'm going to bless you going. I'm going to bless you so much the socks are going to slip right off your feet. This is what it says in verse 10. Then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord. Y'all there? Hey, can you tell me why you got that promotion? I'll tell you why I got that promotion. Because God favors me, that's why. Come on. How come you prospered during this financial downturn and everybody else was mortgaging their house and everybody, getting their houses foreclosed on and they were losing their cars? How could you be blessed in this? I'll tell you why. Because my God favors me. I went on a shutdown one time from the mines, and they called everybody together, went all down to the unemployment office. They said, sign up. Everybody did it. I mean, there was hundreds of people there. And I can tell you this, I never drew $1 unemployment. Because you know what? God favors his kids. Now, just tell you, during that whole shutdown, I worked my little fanny off. I was painting offices, painting apartments. I was building trailers. I was building cabinets. I was doing all kinds of stuff. But I went back to work at the mines with more money than I would have had if I would have worked at the mines. Are y'all there? The very day I went on shutdown, I walked up to somebody and said, he said, listen, I got a house that needs to be painted. I know you don't have the time for it right now because you're working, but if you and your wife want to take this on as a project, he said, I'll pay you like after work and so on and so forth. I said, I can start in 10 minutes. He found out I was off and he said, you paint this house. I got one right next to you. You can paint that. And then you can come in the afternoons and paint this whole office building. And you know what? I'll just tell you this right up front. I hate to paint. I'd rather have a root canal, a tooth extraction. I'd rather have just about anything except for painting. But I love money. So I put my hatred aside. I tell you why I went through that shutdown and I came out better than I went in. It's because I am favored by God. And whenever people said, man, how did you end up better off than whenever you lost your job? I can say this, hey, because God is an awesome God. He favors me. I'm his child. Now this morning, I'm going to spend this whole message just doing one thing. I want to give you guys a revelation. It's going to help you. A revelation. So in order to give you a revelation, first of all, we've got to understand what a revelation is. So I went to the dictionary, looked it up, and it said a revelation. It says, a surprising and previously unknown fact, especially one that is made known in a dramatic way. So if you guys came in here and told me, Pastor, sit down. You're not going to believe this. Politicians lie. I'd go, oh, that was the honor. That's not a revelation. Amen? Y'all with me? Somebody came in and said, Pastor, it's raining outside. You'll never believe it. I go, we live in North Carolina. We live in the mountains in North Carolina. It rains all the time. Now, if my mother called me from New Mexico, but they get about 0.0 inches annually. And she said, JD, you'll never believe this. It rained 22 inches last night. I'd go, wow. A surprising and previously unknown fact, especially one that is made known in a dramatic way. That's revelation. Got me a revelation. Like whenever I first got saved and a lot of my friends found out I first got saved and was following Jesus, it was a revelation to them. They're going, no, not you. No. You're a Christian? Then whenever I went into the ministry, it was the same way. They were going, no. You were supposed to go into prison, remember? Revelation. Now, in the Greek, revelation means an uncovering or an unveiling. You know how they veil things and they hold right to the very last minute, the big statue of the important person, you know, and then the drum roll, you know, everybody's clapping. Give me a drum roll, guys. Come on. And somebody's got a cord and all of a sudden they yank on that cord. And it's an unveiling. And then there's a statue and there's a bird and never mind. But anyway, it says an uncovering or an unveiling. Well, that's this morning what I want to be able to help us all understand. And in order to kind of show you an uncovering or an unveiling, I got to go to a story in the Old Testament. It's in Genesis chapter 29. And this is a story about Jacob. Jacob's a guy. And Jacob moves in with his to-be father-in-law, a guy named Laban. And Jacob falls in love with one of Laban's two daughters. Laban had a girl named Leah, was his older sister, and had a younger sister named Rachel. And this is what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 29. And you guys got to help me with this because I have to stay on track. Now Laban had two daughters. Leah was the older and Rachel the younger. Leah had nice eyes. But Rachel was stunningly beautiful. Can I just say something to you? If all the Bible can say about your looks is you got nice eyes, are y'all there with me? So Jacob's running around with these two girls and all of a sudden he falls in love with Rachel, the youngest one. Because what does it say about Rachel? It says, Rachel is stunningly beautiful, but her sister had nice eyes. If you knew what I was thinking right now, and the Holy Spirit is trying to say, move on. Well, this is the way it went. Jacob approaches Laban. He says, hey, I want to marry your younger daughter, Rachel. She is a knockout. And Laban goes, okay, no problem. I want you to work for me for 7 years. And upon the completion of that 7-year term, I'll give you my daughter. So the Bible says Jacob went out and man, he worked crazy. 7 years. It says it only seemed like a few days because he was so in love with Rachel. Are y'all with me? I mean, just a few days. I'm going to just tell you something. Nick, you could get 28 years between your four daughters of free labor. I could have only gotten 7. I wish I would have gotten 7. It's too late. It's too late. Too late. So Jacob works 7 years, the marriage takes place, and Laban goes behind the marriage villa, and he flips the breakers off. No light in the marriage villa. He says no candles, no flashlights, no nothing. Jacob goes into his new wife, Rachel, so excited, working for her 7 years. The next morning, the light is peeking through the blinds. And he reaches over tenderly and softly to kiss Rachel, who is stunningly beautiful. And he pulls back the covers, i.e., an uncovering, an unveiling. And there lying next to him is someone who has nice eyes. That's pretty much what happened. Stop it. You see, well, folks, Jacob had an uncovering that took place. He had a revelation. Are y'all there with me? He goes, "You are not Rachel." I think I would have beat my father-in-law up. But he was nice. He says, 7 more years and you can get the younger sister. And so Jacob worked for 7 years. But I want to tell you something. On that honeymoon morning, are you there with me? He had a revelation. Amen? He probably said something like this. Would have been probably the most stupid statement he could have said. "You're not Rachel." She knew that already. She knew she was Leah. She knew she was the one running around the community. The people would come up and go, "Oh, Laban, your daughters are... You have such nice eyes, Leah." My goodness. Control. Now, I got to read to you a verse out of 1 Peter. This is 1 Peter 1:13. And I'm going to read it out of 2 different versions. I'm going to first read it out of New King James, and then I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible, because this is something I really believe is so important. And again, I really kind of preach in this whole message around this idea of we're going to get a revelation. And I really believe that that revelation comes from where I'm fixing to read from. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Man, I want to tell you something, folks. You cannot have God's grace until you get a revelation of Jesus Christ. Are y'all with me? You can't have His grace until you understand that He died for you, that on the third day He rose from the dead, and that now He is forever seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for the saints, that Jesus Christ gave it up so that you and I could live. Amen? That's the revelation. I'm going to tell you something. I got a revelation that I owe it all to Jesus. Amen? I am who I am because of Jesus Christ. I'm going where I am going because of Jesus Christ. One day I'm going to be standing before the throne of Almighty God. I'm telling you I'm going to. And it's all going to be because of Jesus Christ. But it's all because of His grace. I didn't deserve any of it. Amen? Now I want to read that same verse to you. 1 Peter 1:13 out of the Amplified Bible. It says, "So brace up your minds. Be sober, circumspect, morally alert. Set your hope wholly and unchangeably on the grace, parentheses, divine favor, that is coming to you when Jesus Christ, the Messiah, is revealed." Now, one of the things that I got to begin to move forward in this morning is to give us all an understanding of that word grace, because we throw it around a lot. Amen? I'm saved by grace. Ha! I'm saved by grace. Amen? I'm saved because God gave me grace. Amen? He gave me grace. Oh, I'm so thankful He gave me grace. But we first got to understand what that word grace means. Grace in Hebrew is a word called chin, and which is defined favor. It's divine kindness. It's divine as graciousness. So whenever you see that God gives you grace, could we not say that He gives us His divine favor? Whew. So all of a sudden, back in 1980, I'm knelt down at an altar at the front of a church, and God's grace poured out on me, yes? That was the day I got saved. February of 1980, back before you guys' parents were even born. God's grace was poured out on me. I went down to that altar as a unforgiven sinner, and I got up as a child of the Most High God. God favored me, man. Folks, I want to tell you, I was born and raised in the hills of New Mexico. But now can we say, I was knelt down there at that altar and God poured out his divine favor on me. You see, there's a connection between favor and blessing. I mean, how many in here this morning, if I said, hey, I wanted to bless you with something nice, how many of you go, no, don't want it. I don't like nice things because my kids just ruin them. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. I know exactly. I brought a new puppy home. They ate it. It's a joke. Or maybe it's not at your house. I don't know. There is a connection between favor and blessing. God's favor on a person's life is going to produce blessing. God favored me at that altar in 1980. He favored me. God's grace poured out on me. God's divine favor poured out on me. And I'm telling you something. Ever since that day, God's favor has been pouring out on me every day of my life. God favors me. God favors my life. And because God's favoring me, there's blessing that pours out on me. And I got a little demonstration. Remember I said cash awards? Oh, yeah. Not a lot of cash. But because these, and I'm just going to tell you something. Anybody sits down close to the front row except for adults. Here, man. Don't spend it all in one place. See, it's because I favor these guys. It's just a dollar. I mean, it's not, that was his dollar. This isn't yours. $5 for Miss Michelle? Oh, you did? Man. There's one for you. One for you. But now, you guys need to hear something. This guy, right here, Dalton, has been running with me for quite a while. And I'm just going to tell you something about Dalton. I love this guy. Okay? I mean, I genuinely love Dalton in a way that I love all these kids here. But Dalton has just, you know, Dalton comes to my house, helps me. I help him. He eats with me. I eat with him. He cleans up the dishes. Now, I have to admit, whenever Preston's there, and it's Preston and Caleb and Dalton, Preston does most of the work. That's not true, is it? But I love Dalton. So, Dalton, I'm going to favor you a little bit more. If there was another kid up here, I had another dollar. It's all the little dollars I had. Are y'all seeing what I'm saying? There is a direct relationship between favor and blessing. Now, I know Dawn's not one of my kids, but he's close. I pray for Dawn almost every day. And I'll just tell you, man, I'd do whatever it took for you. And I'll just put that on the line right now. Serious as a heartbeat. Favor. Blessing. And I'll just tell you this. God gets great pleasure from blessing his kids. I have never bought my kids anything or given them anything that whenever I gave it to them, I said, man, I wish I hadn't have done that. I've always wanted to bless my kids. It always makes me feel good to bless my kids. Amen? God gets great pleasure out of being able to demonstrate his favor on our behalf. Do y'all understand this? If all God ever says is, I'm going to bless you, 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 and he never blesses you, are y'all there? He can never demonstrate his favor towards us if he doesn't bless us, amen? And I'm going to tell you something, blessing comes because of faith. It comes because we just go, wait a minute. I am a child of the Most High God. I have experienced a John chapter 3. I've been born again. Woo! And his grace / divine favor is upon my life. Remember, the word grace translates as divine favor. Now the Apostle Paul, man, you know him, had some amazing things happened in his life, and he came to this one point in his life to where something had happened to him, and we don't know. There's a lot of speculation out there. There's a lot of guesses, but we really don't know. He calls it a thorn in the flesh, and the Bible says he prayed 3 times. He said, God, take it away from me. Take it away from me. But the Apostle Paul, this is his quote. He quotes God. He's talking with God, and he's probably saying, God, take this away from me. Take this away from me. And this is 2 Corinthians 12:9. It says, this is God's response to Paul. Paul's saying, God, take this away from me. And this is what God says. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So here's Paul. He's knelt down. He's going, God, take this away from me. Take this away from me. And all of a sudden, God says, wait a minute, Paul. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And I'll just tell you something, folks. There's a lot of people in this room that think we're big, tough, rough, rumble, but we're as weak as anybody else. And we need to understand that in our weakness is where God shines. It's not in our strength. If you can't get it done, that gives God the opportunity to say, man, let me show you how I can get it done. So he says, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. Anybody ever quote that verse? I thought Pastor Rick had read my sermon notes this morning. Because he's up here saying, your grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. Right as he closed worship down. He says, your grace is sufficient. I said, oh, he's read my notes again. God. Now, because of where we went a minute ago, can we do this? Can we say, God's divine favor is sufficient. God's divine favor. In other words, that's what God's telling Paul. He's saying, Paul, listen to me. Look at me. Shh. My divine favor is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. So I want you to think about this for a minute. According to the Apostle Paul, the divine favor, the grace of God is sufficient. The divine favor is sufficient in all of our lives against our enemies, against our infirmities, against any reproach that might come into our life, against any kind of need that might present itself there, against any kind of persecution, any kind of distress. Are you there with me? The Apostle Paul is saying, listen, man, his grace is sufficient. The favor of God is upon my life because he has poured out his grace upon me. I've had a revelation. Every time I read the Bible and I see that word grace, I go, yeah, his divine favor. His divine favor. His divine favor. It's been poured out upon me. I like to cook, and I like to cook for my family, and I like to cook. But I am known to make too much. Like, we're going to have pork chops for lunch. And I went to the freezer yesterday to get pork chops out, and I pulled one package out. And I said, that's probably not enough. And so I got 2 packages out. And by the time they all thawed, I found out that I got like 12 pork chops. Dalton, you better be hungry. I have a tendency to make too much, but I like leftovers. I mean, the last time I made tamales, I think I made about 300. Because that's the food of the gods. Have you ever been seasoning something and you think, well, a little bit of garlic salt is what they call for, but man, a lot seems better. Sometimes a lot cannot be so good. But I want to make sure we all understand this. There's more than enough of God's favor to meet every need that we have. Jared, if you'll come and help me close this morning. There's more than enough of the favor of God to meet every need that we have. More than enough. Say, whenever you're in a position in your life, whenever there seems like there's just no way out, and I've been there before in my own life. I've been there before so many times where it just seemed it was just an impossibility. It just seemed that it just couldn't happen. You know, it's that time whenever you get this idea that, man, your back is against the wall. Amen? You've made all the phone calls, and every one of those phone calls have been, can't help. Y'all there? Whenever you're there and you just seems like there's just no way out. Maybe, just maybe, with our back against the wall, seeming to have no place to go, we ought to step up and say, whoa, wait a minute. I have been saved by grace, and His grace is sufficient for me. I have been saved because of the divine favor that God gave me in my life, and His divine favor is sufficient for me in this situation. Maybe we ought to make that declaration. Whether it be financial, whether it be physical, we may go through some with our families. How many of you all know that one of the most painful and difficult things you can possibly go through is with those that you love the most, that are closest to you? And I want to tell you something. There's nothing that hurts worse than a hurt that comes from your family. Whenever it's a child or a spouse or a parent or a sibling, are y'all there? I mean, it just hurts. But you have to understand, whenever it seems like there's no way out, you guys got to just back up and say, wait a minute, my back may again be against the wall, but His divine favor is sufficient for me. I'm going to tell you something. After that revelation came to Paul, he's praying, oh man, I need out of this, I need out of this, I need out of this. I'm telling you, his whole vocabulary changed. It went from, I need out of this, to, Your grace is sufficient for me. And see, this morning, I'm going to tell you, there is no lack of prayer requests in this building. I prayed with somebody before service started, a very serious prayer request. I look across this room and I know that there is difficulty in your lives. I mean, if you sit there this morning at the altar call and you go, not going forward, I'm telling you, you're silly. You're just silly. Every one of us have needs. I've got a wife that's home, and she's confined to a wheelchair. She can't come to church on Sunday mornings. My spouse, my partner in ministry. I'm going to tell you, almost every day that goes by, I see just a little dwindling, if you would, of what she used to be able to do. My back is against the wall because the doctors are saying there is nothing that we can do. But I'll tell you this, and I'll tell you this today, and I'll tell you this tomorrow, that His grace is sufficient for me. And His grace is sufficient for my wife. And now I want to make sure we all get this revelation, a pulling back, an unveiling, an uncovering. Grace translates divine favor. God's divine favor is sufficient for me. My God favors me. Somebody asked me not very long ago, they said, Pastor, how do you do all the things you do and not go crazy? Sometimes, I mean, I get to a point where I just go, man, I just get too much on my plate. And then I think, No, I can do it. And I'll tell you why. Because his divine favor is sufficient. In my weakness, his strength is made perfect. I look at these young people sitting around on the front here, got one station. You see, you should have been down here, Courtney. You could have bought some new shoes for your horse. His grace. You guys should have been down here too. The only thing I had left in my pocket was two $50 bills and a one. I'm just saying, I would have said, anybody got change? I favor kids. If there's going to be a blessing in this church, if there's going to be strong ministry in this church, it's going to be kids. It's going to be young people. You adults can take care of yourselves, but these guys, they need help. But God favors every one of his kids. So whenever your back is against the wall, you got to just believe. And I believe this more than anything today. You got to confess it. You got to confess it. You got to say it. God's divine favor is sufficient for me. Hallelujah. It's going to get me through this. It's going to get my children through this. It's going to get my wife through this. It's going to get this ministry through this. We're going to come through this financial problem. We're going to come through this health difficulty. We're going to get through it because God's divine favor is enough. It's sufficient. I don't know if any of y'all have ever called a repairman or, you know, you got something horrible broke down at your house, like the remote. Something that's just altering your life completely. I can remember one time in particular, I didn't necessarily have a repairman showed up, but our dryer was broke down. Man, whenever you have four kids and a messy husband, there's a lot of laundry to be done. We were living in Lewistown, Montana, and I tell you about something about Lewistown some of y'all didn't know. The last 200 miles of anything coming into Lewistown comes by donkey train. So I got the Sears and Roebuck catalog and I ordered the part for the dryer so we could fix it, and about a week later it finally comes in. Man, I was glad whenever that part showed up. Some of you know what I'm talking about. The repairman comes and you go, yes, we're going to get the refrigerator fixed. Some of you guys, we're going to get the microwave fixed. Second, nuke me a hot pocket. I don't see, but whenever the divine favor of God shows up, are y'all with me? Next time we get together and talk about favor, I'm going to talk to you about this guy in the Old Testament that I just look at his life and I go, man, God, whew, your favor was upon his life. His name was Joseph. And I got to preach from Joseph's story. I got to preach from Joseph's life so as that we understand even deeper that whenever the favor of God shows up, are y'all here? Whenever your back is against the wall and the divine favor of God shows up, circumstances change. Hallelujah. Whenever the divine favor of God shows up, not only do circumstances change, but destinies are literally altered. And this morning, that's what I'm praying for in your life. I want your circumstances to change. I want the destiny of your life to be turned around. The divine favor of God showed up for me about 37 years ago at an altar at First Assembly of God in Carlsbad, New Mexico. And I can tell you this, my destiny changed. So this morning, again, I want to make sure that we all understand this. Because the favor of God doesn't just show up for anyone. Are y'all with me? It shows up in His children's lives. Because He wants all the world to see that His children are different than the rest of the world. He wants the world to see Him through His children's lives. He wants us to have a testimony. Let me tell you why I'm where I'm at. Because the divine favor of God is upon my life. So this morning, if you sit in this room and you say, Pastor, I haven't made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. My life is not right with Him this morning. Then let me just tell you something. You can't count on the favor. You got to be His kid. And so this morning, the gospel is very simple. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us has done something wrong, folks. Maybe you say, well, I haven't done a whole lot wrong. It doesn't make any difference. The Bible says if you broke one command, you are guilty of them all. And it says the penalty for that sin, the wages of sin, is the way the Bible defines it. It says the wages of sin is death. And so ultimately, if you and I were to pay for what we did wrong, it would cost us our eternal salvation. Our eternal destiny would be hell. Because we would pay for our sins with death. But this is the good news of Jesus Christ. He came and He paid our fine. He paid our penalty. He stepped in and He said, Father, I don't want them to be punished for what they did. I will take it upon myself. And 2,000 years ago, He was crucified on a cross. He died an inhumane, horrible death so as that you and I's sin might be paid for. He paid for my sin. He paid for your sin. He paid for the sin of all humanity. One act on the cross. But this morning, the gospel is very clear in that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that the penalty for sin is death. But we gotta believe He did it for us. There's too many people out there running around that just think, man, I'm too bad to ever get saved. I've done too many evil things in my life. Maybe they think, I don't need to get saved because I got lots of time. I'm young yet. I don't need to get saved till I get old, like Pastor. Got one foot in the grave. I don't know. See, the Bible clearly tells us that today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. I wonder why, Pastor, you're taking so much time with this, because I want you, if you do not know Jesus Christ, to know Him before you leave this place this morning. Because I want His divine favor to rest on your life. I want to see you favored. I want to see blessings just pouring off of you. As it says in Deuteronomy, I want to see you blessed going. I want to see you blessed coming. I want you to be the head and not the tail. I want the whole world to look at you and go, man, there is something special about that person. And what is special is the divine favor of God rests upon you. So would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for just a moment? I'm going to ask this question. I'm going to ask if you had to get really honest this morning. I'm talking about just shifting away from any kind of idea that would keep you where you're at. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord, if you haven't made a decision to follow Him, if you haven't said, Jesus, forgive my sins, then I want to pray for you before you get out of here this morning. So if that's you and you just say, Pastor, I'm just getting honest, man, because I'm not right with God. I know if I died today, I'd go to hell because I hadn't made it right with God yet. Then I'm going to ask you just very quickly, wherever it is you're sitting, just to slip your hand up and say, Pastor, pray for me very quickly. See, anyone in this room, say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not right with God. I need to be. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Just say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not right with God, but I want to be before I leave this place this morning. Very quickly. Father, in Jesus' name, you've seen these hands. And Father, now is the time of salvation, Father God. I pray, Lord, that you would just move in their hearts. God, that you would quicken them to understand and to know what it is, Lord God, to be saved. To come to a place, Father, of repentance and believe on you as their Savior and Lord. And I pray for them, Lord, that the love of Jesus Christ would just saturate them, Lord God. And Father, I ask that and believe for it in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask everyone to stand in here if you would. And if any of you are like me, you really need the favor of God on your life. I do. I need His divine favor, because this is what I will tell you about His divine favor. It is sufficient for anything I'm going through. Come on. It's sufficient. And this morning, if you have a need in your life, I want you to come to this altar, and I do not want you to be quiet. I want you to be a little noisy. I want you to come to this altar. And you can come anytime. See, we got folks that are ready. They're coming because they know the favor of God is going to meet them here at this altar. I want you to come and just to begin to believe it. Begin to say it. Your divine favor is upon my life. I am your child. You favor me. You want to bless me going. You want to bless me coming. And these needs that I have in my life, you want to take care of them because you are my Father and you love me. And everything that you do is all about the love you have for me. So this morning I'm going to open these altars up, and if you have a need, please, please, please come and respond to God. He wants you to have His favor. He wants you to be blessed. So as I pray this prayer, please begin to come out of your seats. Begin to come and grab a hold of this favor. But I believe you got to confess it. Say, I am favored by my God. And His divine favor is sufficient for my problem. It's sufficient for my need. So as I pray, begin to come out of your pews. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for everybody that's coming forward, Lord. Those that are already at this altar, Lord God. Father, this is what I know. I know that your grace is sufficient, Lord God. I know that your divine favor is sufficient. It is sufficient for family difficulties. It is sufficient for difficulties between husbands and wives, children. It is sufficient, Father God. It is sufficient, Father God. It is sufficient for court cases. It is sufficient for financial needs. It is sufficient, Father God, for marriages that are on the rocks, Lord. It is sufficient, Father God, for anyone that stands in this room, Father, that is suffering from an affliction. It is by the stripes that Jesus took on His back. We are whole. And your divine favor is upon my life. Hallelujah. I am a child of God. And you favor me, Lord Jesus. You favor me, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I believe.